Good evening. Welcome to the North Jackson Church of Christ for our Sunday night service. It's great to see everyone here tonight. And if you're visiting with us, we are glad you're here. It's still a little tougher for us to show that than we'd like for it to be. We might not shake your hand, might not get too close to you, but we are glad you're here. We're thankful for all the visitors here at North Jackson, and we hope you'll come back every opportunity that you have here. Josh Cook is going to be speaking to us tonight. Josh's lesson is What is the Hope of Heaven? Josh, we're looking forward to hearing that. But before that, Booth White will come and lead a couple of songs for us, and Todd Jones will read from God's Word and have an opening prayer. Let's all worship together.
Our first song this evening is going to be number 708. Number 708, we're going to be singing the first and last verses. Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountain, through the deep vale, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul. Bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Alleluia, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
Please open your Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you spirit of wisdom and of revelations in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing of greatness of his power towards us who believe. This is in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Let us pray. Father, God, we come to you tonight just as humbly and meekly as we can, just to ask you for your forgiveness. We fall short. Please help us to do better. We thank you so much for all the many blessings that you give us so freely, and we just take them for granted. Just please help us do better. Father, there are so many that are sick. The virus that's going around this country and this world. We just pray for the doctors and the nurses, and just pray that everything will be done to help them, and hopefully they can recover and be home soon. Father, we do want to thank you for this church at North Jackson, for what it stands for. We're so thankful for the elders that lead us, for our preachers, teachers, and just everyone that makes up the church here. Just continue to bless us as you see us. Father, please be with our leaders, our presidents, our senators, congressmen, local leaders. We just pray you be with each and every one, and just pray that things will get better soon. Father, we are so very thankful for Jesus, for him coming to this earth and living a perfect life and making the ultimate sacrifice for us. We just pray that we will strive to live our lives in a way that is pleasing to you, and one day we can hear that great words, enter into the kingdom. Thank you, Father, for everything you do for us. We just ask you now to be with Josh as he will be standing before us. We just pray we'll open our Bibles and open our hearts and can take what he has to say and apply to our everyday lives. And as we leave this place, we can be the examples to others as we need to be. Thank you, Father. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Number 438. My hope is built on nothing less. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Good evening, beloved. I'm glad that we can be assembled here together this evening. I appreciate so much these men that have led us in our worship. Thank you to Adam. It's good to see you back in this role like it was to see John this morning. Although we love you, Randy Highsmith, but it does feel a little bit more like what we were used to. And for that, we, I know, are all grateful. Thank you, Booth, for leading us in those songs. Appreciate you very much. It's amazing to see what kind of man you have become, Booth. You surely have become a great godly man. And appreciate so much Todd Jones for his heartfelt prayer. Thank you so much, Todd, for that prayer and your reading of God's Word. I'd like to take just a few minutes to thank the men and who served yesterday for the Bible reading event. Thank you, David Boggs. Thank you, Jason Jackson. Thank you, Red McCaskill and Kevin Key. And thank you, Michael Young. You all did an exceptional job reading from God's Word. We made it through two books. We got through Leviticus and Judges in their entirety. And I'm very proud that we were able to meet. The attendance was up, like David mentioned this morning. I shouldn't say this, but it surprised me. I thought maybe because of the situation, fewer would come out. I was grateful that more had been there, and I pray that this continues to be a chance for all of us to be edified, and most of all, that we can pay homage and glory to God in that way. Last week, Adam Carlucci put together a fantastic presentation for three of our seniors. We got to see Britt Holland and Carabeth Jackson, and we got to see Oakley Vandiver and their parents and all the pictures. It was very well done. I hope that you have a chance to stay tonight where we get to honor the three remaining high school graduates. We're going to look at the pictures, the baby pictures, and the adult pictures of our next three, which are Colton Fuller and Ashton Gosley, and then, of course, Abby Robertson. So hope you can stay and be a part of that. We didn't really get to do our normal thing that we would do in May, and so this is really great. Adam said the seniors really like it because it's just short, sweet, in, out. They don't want all the pomp and circumstance, and I can understand that. I remember being a graduate and just, I didn't even want to walk at my graduation. I just wanted them to give me whatever I needed to have. I didn't want to go get cap and gown, but my parents made me do it anyways. And so we're going to have a great time tonight being able to celebrate their accomplishment. Hope you can stay for that. C.S. Lewis wrote, "If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought most about the next." Is there truth in that? You know, C.S. Lewis wasn't a perfect man. C.S. Lewis offered doctrine and theology that I think we would be opposed to as God's people. But for all of that, C.S. Lewis lived through one of the worst world wars that has ever been known. And as a result, he gets a unique perspective when it comes to things like heaven, death. Tonight's lesson will be focused, of course, from the Word of God. But as we go through each of these 4 points on what is the hope of heaven, I want to include some quotes from C.S. Lewis along the way, and only C.S. Lewis. And to begin with, let me mention that we're going to look at the hope of heaven and why we should get so excited about it. And I think the Bible expresses this in 4 key ideas. And the first is that the hope of heaven is to worship our God face to face. The second is that the hope of heaven is to meet all the world's saved ones. The hope of heaven is to receive a royal inheritance. And the hope of heaven is to endure forever in its goodness. And so to begin, would you look at point number 1, the hope of heaven is to worship our God face to face. "We are very shy nowadays," writes Lewis, C.S. Lewis, "of even mentioning heaven. We are afraid of the jeer about pie in the sky and of being told that we are trying to escape from the duty of making a happy world here and now into dreams of a happy world elsewhere. But either there is pie in the sky, or there is not. And if there is not, then Christianity is false, for this doctrine is woven into its whole fabric." What I think I am most excited about in heaven is the chance to see God face to face. That seems like such an awesome experience. You know, when I first saw my wife, my would-be wife, I noticed this girl, and she gave me bees in my stomach. Now, she felt butterflies, but that was just too weak for me. I needed something stronger. So I told her that when I saw her, she gave me bees in my stomach. There was a visceral reaction to what I was seeing. And I think when we finally visualize God, we're not going to comment on the size of his nose or his eyebrows, how thick they might be. It won't be anything like that. We'll gaze upon him and there will be a visceral reaction within us. And perhaps it's going to be one like, Now everything is as it should be. Now I know Him who is forever, the ever-existent one. I'm not sure what that's going to be like, but I do know that one man really wanted to see the Lord's face. When God was with Moses, and Moses asked him, "Please show me your glory," his response in Exodus 33:20 was, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall live and see my face." You're going to die, Moses, if you truly look upon me as I really am. But that won't be how it is in heaven. Because in heaven, we're told in Revelation 22:4, they shall see his face. And again, I don't know about the three-dimensional quality, the spiritual afterlife versus this physical world. I don't know if we have enough stuff to compare it to. I know it's going to be exceptional in every way, but still, I long to see the eternal Father's face. But next to that, I'm proud to and privileged to be able to bow before the Son's glory. Jesus is expressed as having amazing glory, so much so that in Philippians 2:10, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. In the book of Revelation, John is receiving a vision. It's not a perfect image of what heaven would look like by any stretch, but it is a vision for him to communicate to Christians about that place. And in this vision, John pictures a Son of Man. And all of the features of his body are highlighted, and they're extreme, they're awesome. His hands, his feet, the head and the hair, even a sword coming out of his mouth. His garments are white, and he wears a golden sash or band. Everything about him is startling, and it says in Revelation 1:16, his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Have you ever tried to look up at the sun and stare at it? In my desk drawer down the hall here, I have some glasses that were the eclipse glasses from a few years ago. Do you remember when the eclipse came over Jackson, Tennessee? I went to the preschool where Jude was at the time, and I took him outside, and we got to look at that together. Of course, a cloud came over right at that moment when we all wanted to see it. I've never looked at the sun and be able to stand there and look at it for a long time. John threw himself down. He said, "I fell at my feet like a dead man, but a right hand came onto him, and a voice said to him, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last.'" Being in Jesus' presence where we do want to bow will be a comforting experience. He's not going to drive us away with his glory. He invites us to be there, to be present. In heaven, we're going to sing the song of Moses, but we're also going to sing the song of the Lamb. I'm excited about praising Jesus face to face, singing for him, to him, with all of you. That excites me. But next, consider that we are going to be privileged to rejoice in the Holy Spirit's presence. Have you ever thought about the Holy Spirit as someone you could talk to? Do you know at the end of the book of Revelation, there is a passage in chapter 22 that says the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." The Holy Spirit's going to have a voice. He is going to have a personality. He is going to be one that we can interact with. I'm reminded in the book of Psalms how right after David committed his atrocities with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite, Nathan comes to confront him. And as a result of that experience, David puts into Psalm 51 this message: "Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." For David, being on the outs with God was expressed as not being with the Spirit, not having the Spirit with him, being in its presence, his presence. And in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 16, Paul comments very similarly. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit authenticates my restoration with God. And that's what David wanted more than anything. I want to be in the presence of the Spirit because it authenticates my relationship with God. When I'm in heaven, I'm going to get to rejoice in the presence of the Spirit. And I will know for certain that I belong there in that time. You belong with the Spirit of God. You were made to rejoice in His presence. In The Problem of Pain, C.S. Lewis writes, "We are afraid that heaven is a bribe, and that if we make it our goal, we shall no longer be disinterested. It is not so. Heaven offers nothing that a mercenary soul can desire. It is safe to tell the pure in heart that they shall see God, for only the pure in heart want to." The hope of heaven is the opportunity to see God face to face. But next, consider this, that the hope of heaven is to meet all the world's saved ones. When Jesus was transfigured on the mount, Moses and Elijah were there, and they were talking. They had something to talk about. Some element of their identity, their personality, endures in the afterlife for God to be able to call it up to a mountain and have Jesus interact with them. I love that. I love that they stayed Moses and Elijah. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, Jesus said, "I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." What do you want to ask your hero from the Bible? Do you have your question ready? What do you want to say to Samson? Was that like an unusually big jawbone of a donkey, or was it just a normal one, Samson? And he's going to ask us, "Oh, what kind of hairstyles did you have in 2020? And we're going to be able to tell him the hairstyles of 2020. Are you ready to interact with those famous Bible heroes? I love in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, when you go through and descend through this barrage of faithful Old Testament heroes, you can tell the author is trying to make an argument by just that barrage of people. And I love verse 32, because as he's going through all these people, he finally says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me. The time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets." These were no small, insignificant people. And yet he has to say, for the course of writing in our day and age, time would fail me. Not so in heaven. That Hebrews writer is going to be able to detail it all out. We're going to get all the ins and outs of everyone's life. Every single hero that we had a question, "I wonder how they did that. I wonder what happened next." You're going to get to know it. We're going to get to interview them. And we'll all get to go into this together. Because if you drop down in chapter 11, verse 40, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. We're going to be together with our heroes of the faith when we enter the heavenly gates. It happens coincidentally. But beyond asking our questions and swapping stories with the heroes of the faith, you're going to get to reminisce with the folks you knew here on earth. It was, again, David from his experience with Bathsheba and the son that was lost to them. He said, "I shall go to him," 2 Samuel 12:23. He's going to go to his little boy. He's going to go to an individual that he knows and longs to see. How many of you have that person in your life that you want to see? They could be there if they're a part of the saved ones. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, Paul writes, He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus at a different time and will present us with you. Here Paul is explaining there's going to be us and then there's going to be you, Corinthians. You're going to have an identity. We're not all just going to be one blob of personality in heaven, one concoction or amalgamation of all these souls going back to God. We'll each be us. And he could express that to the Corinthians. He doesn't just do it to them. He does it for the Thessalonians. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 19 and 20. There are going to be Thessalonians in heaven. There will be Corinthians in heaven. There will be apostles in heaven. And each of us will retain that about ourselves. I guess I live in Jackson, so I'm a Jacksonian. So we could say Jacksonians will be in heaven. I love the idea that I could talk one day with some of my faithful brethren that have gone on. I love the idea of talking to Wells Kirby and saying, "Brother Wells, do you remember when we had those Bible studies every Monday night at your old place on Farmington? Remember Will Malone was there, Beth Shore? That's back in the day when George Cherry, all of us were getting together. We were having Bible studies with people inside the church and outside the church. You know what he'd say? He'd say, "Yes, sir, I remember." He called me sir. He's like the gentleman's gentleman. I'm so much younger than him. He called me sir. I'm going to miss Wells, but we don't have to say goodbye. Because one of the realities of heaven, one of the hopes of heaven, is being able to reminisce with those folks. But what about those we've never known? Well, those described in Revelation 6, verses 10 and 11, they were martyrs. And they were fed up with the people, the wicked people of earth, having their way. And they were crying out to God, "Please go down and do something about this." And they're told they have to wait. And the reason they're told to wait a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. We have brethren that may come after us. We don't know them from Adam, but we're going to get a chance to know them. In Revelation 21, verse 24, we read about the qualities of these people, "And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it." And we're not talking about just the Old Testament kings like David. We're talking about kings of the world. And you say, well, outside of Israel, what other kings could be in heaven? I mean, all those Roman emperors, they were heathens. They were awful. What kings are actually going to be in heaven? Have you ever considered that maybe we don't have a king in this country, but we do have a president? I look forward one day to speaking with James A. Garfield. James A. Garfield was a brother in Christ. Back before the Restoration Movement divided itself up into the Churches of Christ and the Disciples of Christ and the Christian Church, when you still had the likes of Barton Stone and Raccoon John Smith, and you had Alexander Campbell pioneering through this part of the world, establishing the church. This man was born and then in 1850 gave his life to Christ. He just so happened to serve as one of our presidents. I want to go up to him and say, "Brother Garfield, in my hometown we had a high school named after you." I didn't go there. I was slated somewhere else. But anyways, we had to memorize your name in school. These people are real. And they're going to be there. And their glory, even the glory of kings, will be in heaven someday. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 29, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." Now, if you're looking at the parallel to that in Mark chapter 10, It actually has inserted in there, you're going to have all those things 100-fold now. In other words, all those things you might give up now, you'll gain them back now, in the here and now. And then later, there will be eternal life. So what's the difference? What's the point? You're not just going to gain those things later. You will start to gain them now, as in a new Christian family, a brotherhood, a fellowship. And then you're going to get to start that relationship, but then allow it to blossom and grow for all eternity. I love my relatives. You are born to love those people that are first in your life, that nurture you and care for you. Every one of us would be sick to our stomach to imagine that we're going to go into eternity without our close relatives. But for some of us, that is a reality. And I want to tell you, you don't have to go through this life sick to your stomach about that. I'm not telling you to all of a sudden write off these family members who you know didn't live faithfully in this life. We don't get to be judged. But one thing I want to offer is that for eternity, God has been working out a family for you. You will not be without sister or brother or father or mother. Every relationship you've appreciated and felt the sting of loss in this life, whatever that amounts to in the next, will have it. It will not cease. What happens in heaven, writes C.S. Lewis, none of us earthside dwellers really know. It's humbling to think about. Lewis says in Mere Christianity that it is only the Christians who have any idea of how human souls can be taken into the life of God and yet remain themselves. In fact, be very much more themselves than they were before. All the rest of religious groups beyond Christianity talk about absorption and losing one's identity into some elusive oneness. And that is not a picture or a glimpse into the heavenly realms as the Bible communicates it. So the next hope of heaven is that we will meet all the world's saved ones. But in the third place, we're going to receive a royal inheritance. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 48. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Yes, but what if that breaks down over time, Josh? Everything I know about breaks down. Okay, you've given me a new body, a new mind, but it's going to break down. Verse 50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. It's not possible. It's not possible to be set up with some bait and switch scenario in heaven. When we get there, it'll be better than we've ever imagined. We're going to be looking at God and saying, you got this deal mixed up. I shouldn't get that much, Lord. You gave me too much. Here's my change that you didn't. I didn't need this. You shouldn't have given it to me. He's going to give it. He's going to lavish it upon us. It's going to start with the transformation of our lowly body that we should be conformed to His glorious body. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. So we'll have this body, but then there are these materialistic things that somehow make their way into a description of what's going to be in heaven, a spiritual place. Why is that? We're going to get to that in just a moment. But even Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In Revelation 2:10, the command goes, be faithful unto death. Why? Because I will give you a crown of life, Jesus says. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, God has begotten us. Then verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. don't deserve those riches, don't deserve that crown that's there, the mansions, the street of gold, all the splendor and the glory of that place, and yet it will be lavished upon us as a royal inheritance. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Paul would elsewhere in Romans 8:17 comment further, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." We'll rule with him. We won't be thought merely as subjects in the kingdom. We are the sons of the king in the kingdom. It's a kingdom full of sons and daughters. There is no need to be worried about facetious people who try to make the Christian hope of heaven ridiculous by saying they do not want to spend eternity playing harps, writes C.S. Lewis. He goes on, all the scriptural imagery, harps, crowns, gold, etc., is of course a merely symbolic attempt to express the inexpressible. Music is the thing known in the present life which most strongly suggests ecstasy and infinity. Crowns are mentioned to suggest the fact that those who are united with God in eternity share his splendor and power and joy. And gold is mentioned to suggest the timelessness of heaven. Gold does not rust and the preciousness of it. People who take these symbols literally might as well think that when Christ told us to be like doves, he meant that we were to go lay eggs. These are meant to help us appreciate and esteem what it's going to be like, not itemize those elements that are there. So in the third place, the hope of heaven is to receive a royal inheritance. But in the fourth and final place, consider this. The hope of heaven is to endure forever. We are to endure forever in its goodness. I love the passage in Revelation 7 and in Revelation 21. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Revelation 7 verses 16 and 17. And then in the same line of thinking, in verse 4 of chapter 21, there shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. I want to be in that place where there isn't fear, pain, sorrow, or death. I want to be there now, but while I can't be there, it is my hope for what heaven will embody for me, engender for the life to come. But not only will we escape some of those things, but we'll no longer have temptation and sin and Satan or evil present. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54 through 57, Paul writes this lengthy passage. It's worth reading. It's worth commenting on. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 21, verse 27, the idea that incorruption will not be there is strengthened in our understanding. There shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Thank you, God, that there is a place where these things that we hate and despise and fear so much, they're the thorn in our flesh. They're the thing that we never get used to. It's so unnatural for these things to be in our life. We reject the idea that this is a part of the human existence. That's why we all shed tears over every one of those things. Because we know deep down inside that's not what we were created to be a part of. And we're all still groping and finding what God meant us to be and where He meant us to be. God will be our light. God will be the life force. He will be the source of love, as David pointed out so eloquently in the sermon this morning. I'm really looking forward to this series by David. That's our all-time favorite thing to preach as preachers. That's what we want to preach all the time. Wish we didn't have to preach on the other stuff. And David has done his share of that. I'm so glad that he's preaching on this. And many of us are thinking, but we already know this. This is the message that everyone needs to hear. No one came forward this morning because most people are probably already Christians. But if the world heard that, if the world heard that message this morning, surely we would have had many responses. That's one of the greatest sermons I've ever heard from David Powell. And that's just the start of the series. I'm so looking forward to love because it was out of love that Jesus was sent, John 3:16. But it will be out of love that Jesus is sent again. And that same love will hold o'er our being absolute sway in the life to come. And of course, we appreciate so much Jesus's and God's lordship. Revelation 21:23, the Lamb is its light. The glory of God illuminates heaven. In Revelation 22:5, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 21:22, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Why don't I see a temple here in heaven? Where's the temple? Where's that place of security, that place of belonging, the space that's defined by the walls? You don't need it. God and the Lamb are here. They will serve as the temple. C.S. Lewis writes, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." And you were. And I was made for another world. This is not our world. Like those heroes of Hebrews 11, we're just passing through. We have a country that we're pursuing. And this one is not it. This life cannot bring to us what we most desire. But the hope of heaven is to endure in its goodness forever. Now is the opportunity for us to consider our relationship with God and whether or not heaven is somewhere in our future. Again, C.S. Lewis writes in his essay, A Slip of the Tongue, which is found in the publication, The Weight of Glory. He quotes Thomas More in saying that if you don't choose Jesus, it doesn't really matter what else you choose. Lewis expounds on More's insight. Will it really make no difference whether it was women or patriotism, cocaine or art, whiskey or a seat in the cabinet, money or science? He asks, well, surely no difference that matters. We shall have missed the end for which we are formed and rejected the only thing that satisfies. Does it matter to a man dying in a desert by which choice of route he missed the only well? And we would affirm it doesn't. And there are so many paths that would lead us away, but if you don't choose Jesus, you will surely be on one of those. It was Jesus who provided the well. He used a well with a woman at a well and made that case using the visual aid. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Do you want that water today? If you are not a child of God, this is exactly what Jesus promises to those who obey him and his gospel. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, are willing to repent of a life of sin, confess his name, that you believe he's the Son of God, be immersed in a watery grave for the remission of your sins, at that point, you're going to be raised up as a Christian. You will have your sins washed away. You will be a child of God. You'll be a member of the church. And heaven will be your projected home. If you are a Christian but have wandered away back into the world, why not come back to the path that leads to Jesus Christ, to riches eternal, to your loved ones and the saved ones, and a place that is free of the corruption that we see here and now. If we can help you in any way or encourage you to follow the gospel of Jesus Christ, we invite you to come forward now while together we stand and while we sing.
You take the Lord's Supper and you need a communion packet, would you raise your hand? The ushers will bring you one at this time. Anyone hadn't got one? Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Holy Father, we're thankful for this day and all of its many blessings. We're thankful, Father, to come around this thy table, take this bread, which the Christian mind represents Christ's broken body on the cross. May the ones partake do so in a well-pleasing manner. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us pray. Most precious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this cup, the fruit of the vine, which to the Christian represents Christ's broken body on the cross, shed blood on the cross. May the ones partake do so in a worthy manner until he comes again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Josh. We appreciate the good lesson tonight. I know everyone is aware of it by now, but Wells Kirby, longtime member here at North Jackson and just a great person, passed away recently. We need to remember Sister Robbie, their children, and the whole family in our thoughts and our prayers right now. The tentative arrangements for Brother Wells are this Friday, July the 31st, from 9 till 11, visitation, and the funeral at 11 at Arrington Funeral Home. If there are any changes to those arrangements, that information will be passed along just as soon as we get that information. All the ladies of the congregation are invited to attend a baby shower honoring Shelby Biggs next Sunday, August the 2nd, from 1:30 until 3 o'clock. They're expecting a girl. This will be a walkthrough-only event, and Shelby has asked, instead of the traditional gift cards, to bring a small book and put your name in it. They would appreciate that. And for those who will not be able to attend that event, there's a table set up in the foyer. You can leave your gift on there. The elders have asked me to announce that the schedule for the worship services will remain the same for the next few weeks. Sunday mornings, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and then Sunday night, 6 p.m. service. When those changes, when there are changes made to that, we would pass that information along. And also, as mentioned, tonight after our services, we'll be honoring three more of our high school seniors. Tonight we'll honor Colton Fuller, Ashton Gosley, and Abby Robertson. So right after our closing prayer tonight, we'll wait 4 or 5 minutes and allow those who are not able to stay for the ceremony to leave, and then we'll get that started. Adam Carlucci will be presiding over that. We're looking forward to that. Those are all of the announcements that I have. We'll be led in one more song, and then Dylan Todd will come and lead us in a closing prayer, and Dylan will also offer a blessing for the contribution. Thank you for being here tonight. Again, to all of our visitors, we hope to see you again soon. Everybody have a great week. Please stand.
Abide with me.
I'll talk to God. Father, we come before you and approach your throne, knowing that you are almighty and powerful, and we are weak. At this time, Father, we want to thank you for all the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. The ability to even come here and worship you, the ability to even sing praises unto your name, the ability to even talk to you, is a blessing. And I pray that we never take that for granted. Father, at this time, we want to focus on the ability to give back to you. Father, I pray that we will give back with a cheerful heart, and cheerful manner. I pray that those funds will be overseen by our elders, that they may further your kingdom here on earth, Father, to ultimately further your kingdom in heaven. Father, I pray that we live each and every day with the hope of heaven in our minds. I pray tomorrow that we are better than we were today, and I pray that we continue to grow in your name. Thank you so much for Christ and everything he did for us. And all the bad things that happened to him on this earth, Father, I pray that we will remember those things. But Father, none of this would be possible. None of that would matter if there were no resurrection. I pray that we live in his resurrection each and every day. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.